Hashtag stop Galamsey now.
Let the water flow. I will speak to him directly.
President John Dramani Mahama. Yale bledodo.
The Midday News is live on Joy 99.7 FM, Hits 103.9 FM in Accra, on Love 99.5 in Kumasi, and streaming worldwide at myjoyonline.com, X-Faces, Facebook and YouTube. We're also live in all 16 regions of Ghana via partner stations, including Victory, Aplao, KTU Radio in Koforidua, Radio Justice, Tamale, ATL, Cape Coast and Sky, Sunyani. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams. Coming up, Ghana's health NGOs warn of looming family planning crisis as three containers of contraceptives and related medical supplies donated to Ghana remain stuck at the Tema port nearly 2 years after arrival.
The Ghana Health Service and Ministry of Health must implement a contingency supply plan to prevent stockout at district and facility levels whilst commodities are being cleared and distributed.
Also this afternoon, global oil prices plunge hours after the USA and Iran announced a two-week ceasefire to temporarily halt the war, which has led to escalating oil prices. We have details, but Ghanaian fuel consumers are being told to hold as the impact on fuel prices at the pump will not be immediate.
The effect will be gradual, even if things are coming down from today to our next window will come in.
With details of that coming up shortly, also President Mahama nominates former IMF economist to lead Ghana's fiscal council as the country moves to strengthen discipline in managing public finances, improve oversight and support more prudent decisions on spending, borrowing and the budget. We speak to an economist to find out what difference this will make in sports.
CAF President Patrice Motsepe has arrived in Senegal to meet the president and football authorities as he moves to curb tensions after the West African country was stripped of the AFCON title.
Also, coastal experts warn Ghana could lose a third of its tourist sites in Accra, including the Osu Castle and Black Star Square, to rising sea levels and coastal erosion.
The Kwame Nkrumah Mausoleum, the Independence Square, and the Christian Bok Castle will experience erosion and are likely to be lost to the sea in the very near future.
And we'll tell you how coastal erosion influenced the relocation of the presidency in 2013, all in our later series, When the Sea Comes Home, and later on Soft Touch.
Dear drop and be a P, I'm at my song. May them open as he's a hell in the car. Casa, I am with an answer. What do you want to bomb?
Missy, what must you send me your rapper to when you question YouTube?
We take you back to the brag segment of Joy Prime's Beats and Bars, where Koforidua's Mr. G's and Kumasi's Kweku winner take turns in to brag about themselves through rap. These and more with me, Mami Sinya Mitchie Thompson. This is Joy News, independent, fearless, and credible journalism. Let's settle for the details now. Now this afternoon, civil society groups in the health sector are warning of a looming family planning crisis as three containers of contraceptives and related medical supplies donated to Ghana by the UNFPA remain stuck at the Tema port nearly 2 years after arrival. The consignments, valued at $1.6 million, include condoms, pills and other essential family planning commodities, which the groups say are already in short supply in some parts of the country. They've been addressing the media on this, and my colleague Hannah Dami is there for us. So Hannah, what's the difficulty in clearing these containers?
Yeah, Mamisi, as you clearly mentioned, in the year 2023, the GRA did some declassification at the ports, and unfortunately it affected these commodities, so they were not exempt. But let's hear more from the advocacy and youth coordinator at Maristo, Sharita Kwachi. She will tell us exactly the details why these conditions continue to remain. Welcome to joining.
Thank you. I'm Henrietta Atakechi. So the commodities were supposed to get diplomatic exemption, but currently UNFPA do not have diplomatic exemptions as they previously had. So these commodities stuck at the port is incurring some charges, and these charges need to be cleared before the commodities can be, cleared from the port. Mm. Currently, these charges have summed up to over $200,000 which needs to be paid before the commodities can be released for the women and girls who will need it the most.
Hannah, and how is this impacting the country's family planning campaign, considering that there's a cutback on supplies from the United States?
So I want to set a scenario. There's a lady, for instance, or a woman who is on contraceptives, or perhaps even she takes implants on a schedule of 3 months. Consider such a person. What does she do after 3 months? Because there's a shortage, and so she will not be able to do that. That obviously leads to unplanned pregnancies, possible maternal mortalities, and her rate also is going to add more to that.
These can also lead to unsafe abortions. It can lead to young girls dropping out of school because they do not have access to contraceptives, which can help them make informed decisions about their bodies, about their futures. And
so, Henrietta, what exactly are your demands? Do you have a deadline on when you want to see these released?
Immediately. We want the government to release the commodities immediately because there are a decline in stock levels at national and regional medical stores. Commodities are available. We can't even say we have more than 1,000 of implants as a country. Commodities is at a very lower level, and we are expecting government to ensure that there is a release of these commodities so that women and girls everywhere across the country can access reproductive health care.
Can you also confirm that people are taking advantage of the situation to sell unapproved products?
I wouldn't say unapproved product, but family planning is supposed to be free on health insurance. But because it is not much in the system, because there is a decline in commodity in the system, now providers are buying or they are getting the short-term family planning, which is not free on family planning, and are selling it to clients. So now they can sell it at any price they want. But if there were excess commodity in the market, women could go into a clinic anywhere and access it freely on NHIS.
And finally, we know that UNAIDS is out. Is UNFPA also threatening to do the same, considering what's happening at the ports?
UNFPA, they will be declining their stock support to Ghana because, I mean, look at this instance. There has been commodity stock at the port for 2 years, which has not been released. Imagine you being a donor. How would you feel investing millions of dollars in products and it will come and sit at a port for 2 years, which most of them are even nearing expiry? So this wouldn't even give you the chance or the edge to keep supporting.
So my niece, you heard the Henrietta Patriata. She's the advocacy youth coordinator at Maristo.
Right. Thank you very much, Hannah Odami, coming to us from the Tema Port. Now, President John Mahama has raised concerns about the increasing complexity of global health challenges, urging world leaders to move beyond pledges and take concrete action. Speaking on the One Health Summit in Lyon, France, where he co-chaired the event with French President Emmanuel Macron, he called on global leaders to turn discussions into meaningful results that benefit individuals, communities, and the environment. Presidential Affairs Correspondent Max Olagmagba reports.
Your Excellency, President of the French Republic.
Commemorating World Health Day, the summit brought together heads of state and government and a broad mix of international stakeholders, including representatives from regional and global organizations, academia, civil society, and development banks. In his remarks, President Mahama, who is also the founder of the Accra Research Initiative, stated that Africa is experiencing a shift in its disease burden.
We must also take note of the changing disease burden in Africa, including the explosion of morbidity in non-communicable diseases. In Ghana, non-communicable diseases today account for 42% of all mortality. Infectious disease burdens also are changing, are varying, and so we must take note of all this.
He emphasized the need to advance health equity, noting that the global community must guarantee equitable access to financing, technology, data, and innovation, whilst helping countries develop resilient systems to effectively prevent, detect, and respond to health threats.
We need to enhance research and knowledge sharing Additionally, we must support countries in building resilient systems that can prevent, detect, and respond effectively. Although we have frequently discussed this, we have been slow in developing the necessary infrastructure for delivery. First, let us shift from commitment to action. The period of declarations must come to an end. The moment for coordinated effort is here. And let us start from Lyon.
President Mahama is expected to later today hold bilateral talks with President Emmanuel Macron. The discussions between the two leaders will focus on strengthening Ghana-France bilateral relations and exploring cooperation in areas of mutual interest, including health, education, trade, investment, and regional security.
Away from health, this afternoon, Pride of crude oil on the international market is witnessing a steep decline barely hours after the United States of America and Iran agreed to a two-week ceasefire to temporarily halt the war. The war led to Iran restricting passage through the Strait of Hormuz, a critical checkpoint in the oil supply chain where at least 20% of global oil imports pass. Over the last few weeks that the war had raged, crude oil passes to $118 at some point, with prices at the pump in Ghana increasing over the last four pricing windows. The least price for petrol in the country is now 13 cedis, 3 pesos, while diesel is selling above 17 cedis. And my colleague Kwakwa Asante joins me in studio with some details from the Joy News Research Desk. So Kwaku, for the contest, what was the price of oil on the international market before the war began around January 28?
So Mamisi, before that conflict escalated, we know that oil prices was relatively stable. In fact, Brent crude was trading around $65. Very, very low, reflecting a fairly balanced global supply-demand environment. At that time, $65, that was the price at the time.
But what was the price just before the ceasefire's announcement, and where is it now?
So at the peak of the tensions, price surged significantly. In fact, Brent crude climbed to as high as $115 per barrel. Just yesterday, before the announcement, it was hovering around $112 per barrel. But following the ceasefire announcement, the market has started to cool significantly, with prices now surging below the $100 mark as traders begin to reduce the risk associated. It's currently trading around $94 per barrel. That is a 14% drop from yesterday.
So what trajectory should we expect if this two-week ceasefire holds or even becomes permanent?
Our understanding is that we should expect a gradual downward correction in the oil prices. Markets, as we know, typically respond quickly to reduce the geopolitical risk associated. However, prices may not return immediately to the pre-war levels. We are likely to see oil stabilize somewhere between $75 and $90 per barrel in the short term, depending on how quickly supply chains normalize, especially around the critical route of the Strait of Hormuz, and also if that deal can become permanent.
All right, good question. Thank you very much. Well, the Chamber of Oil Marketing Companies, COMAC, says the effect of the ceasefire and the international price drop immediately. Dr. Rivers Sinopon is CEO and industry coordinator of COMAC.
Yeah, I think it's still premature for anybody to put any number to the game. What I can say is that, yes, this is what we've all been praying for the ceasefire. Of course, especially for countries who don't even have access to food at all, right, in the eastern corridors of the continent. And then also to us who have been affected by fuel prices for the past 1 month. Once this ceasefire is going to take effect, we shall see flat prices coming down. Already seen Brent plummeting down, so second by second. And this is what we want to know, this is what we want to see. But as far as the country is concerned, we know that we work with two weekly averages, all right, the window average to price. And that's why I'm saying that it's going to be very premature for anybody to put numbers right away.
Well, Dr. Opong has been criticizing private transport operators who have already increased the prices of their transport fares and calling, insisting the high price at the fuel pumps was only temporary.
And I think that's the more reason why we were very concerned about transportation prices going up, because there are two forms of determinants. in increasing fuel prices in the country. There's a natural there's a natural increase, and there's also the superlative one. I mean, the one that is geopolitical influence, like the war, which are normally temporal. You know, so if indeed this war comes to an end, this ceasefire, I mean, with all the agreements being made.
Well, ahead of a crucial emergency cabinet meeting scheduled for tomorrow, Energy Minister John Jinapo says government will take measures that will cushion the general public. He has cautioned against demands which will bring short-term relief but long-term challenges.
We should not take short-term economic decisions that will hurt you, the ordinary Ghanaian, in the long term. That is not prudent economic management. Whatever support we can give you, let's do it as a government. Whatever cushion we can give Ghanaians in terms of petroleum pricing, let's do that. But let's be mindful that when we are taking these decisions, we do not end up hurting you in the future. And sometimes the cost that you incur from these political short-term decisions can be very, very significant. And so I leave you with the key three things that I talked about, that we want to ensure that the products are available. We want to ensure that we take steps to cushion you when it comes to prices. But finally, we want to ensure that even as we do that, we do not hurt the economy so that it comes back to bite you in the long term.
John Jinapo is Energy Minister. While talking about fuel prices and transport fares, we know yesterday private transport firm VIP increased its fares by 25%, citing the cost of fuel as the main reason. And as GPRT weighs its own plan to increase fares, let's talk to Chamber of Petroleum Consumers, COPEC, for more on this. Duncan Amwa is its Executive Secretary. So Duncan, what's your reaction to the specific decision by VIP? The concerns have been that these transport companies enjoyed a massive windfall when fuel prices were falling consistently and never reduced their prices. But once fuel prices increase due to the war, they are quick to increase the price first.
I share the sentiment clearly, and I do think that the way forward should be in Parliament passing of the Consumer Protection Bill to ensure that the Ghanaian consumer has some rights as codified by law. Unfortunately, we do not have that. So even in times when prices should have declined, what you get is excuses and the feet dragging by some of the service providers. And I do think that Parliament should take a serious view of this and ensure that some of these things are put in law so that when the time comes and the indicators, as we all could calculate, points to a situation where prices should decline, we should not have a situation where service providers can unilaterally say they are not going to go down on prices. That does not bode well, one, for the economy, two, for the Ghanaian, the ordinary Ghanaian who expects some of these reductions when times are favorable. You would not blame VIP at this point. Having heard from Adakabre yesterday, one of the things you take from them is the time lag it takes them to probably run a single trip. The roads have been bad. Unfortunately, fuel prices have also gone up. So it looks as though we've given them a perfect window to have to go up. Now that you have a situation where, due to the ceasefire announced yesterday overnight, you've seen WTI decline by 17%. You've seen Brent gone down by 15%. If that should translate into pump prices eventually in a few days to come, one would expect that some of these transport fare adjustments upwards will be reversed so that the consumer is not stuck in the middle and flees.
All right. Thank you very much. And that's Duncan Amwa with COPEC. Well, this afternoon, the Technical Working Committee of the National Road Safety Authority has recommended a ban on the use of Toyota Voxy vehicles for commercial transport, describing the practice as unsafe, unlawful, and a growing threat to public safety. According to the committee, the vehicles are imported in breach of existing laws and are often converted from right-hand drive to left-hand drive by unauthorized persons, a process it says compromises their safety and makes them unsuitable for commercial use.
The fundamental suitability for commercial passenger transport The manufacturer informed us that Toyota Voxy is a minivan for young middle-class family and not for commercial passenger transport. Because it's not, in other words, it's not designed for high mileage and it's designed for paved roads. So within the city, it's assumed it's paved, but once off-road situations come in, then they advise that we should secure Toyota Haze rather for commercial applications. And we found that in the market, the ground clearance was quite evident because as part of the conversions, they had to raise the vehicle. They changed the tie. And also the ties that come with the Toyota Voxy vehicles are passenger ties. We have commercial ties and then we have passenger ties. The ties that come with Toyota Voxy are passenger ties. Means they are not meant for high payload, high mileage, that will stretch the structural integrity of the vehicle.
And you heard Dr. Godwin Kafui Ayeto. He is the technical chairman of that committee. Well, the committee is also calling for strict enforcement of laws banning the importation of right-hand drive vehicle as part of broader efforts to reduce crashes and improve safety on the roads. Let's now speak to my colleague, Fatal Bayaga, for more on this. So, Fatal, what is the Road Safety Authority going to do based on this recommendation?
Manisu Abraham Amalaba, who is the Director General of the Road Safety Authority, says that they would immediately begin to implement their recommendations by the committee. In fact, he says that immediately individuals who are converting these vehicles into left-hand drive should stop immediately. And he says that they are going to collaborate with the police, the Customs Division of the GRA, and other stakeholders to ensure that all of these recommendations are worked on. Implemented. He also says that these vehicles are not supposed to be crisscrossing the country. They are meant to be within the city, and they are going to ensure that all of those recommendations are implemented in order to save lives.
Thank you, Fatal Bayaga. You're still listening to the Media News here on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll take a break. We'll return with sports. And also, coastal experts warn Ghana could lose a third of its tourist sites in Accra, including the Osu Castle and Black Star Square, to rising sea levels and coastal erosion.
The Kwame Nkrumah Mausoleum, the Independence Square, and the Christian Bok Castle will experience erosion and are likely to be lost to the sea in the very near future.
Later on Soft Touch. We take you back to the brag segment of Joy Prime's Beats and Bars, where Kofrida's Misty G's and Kumasi's Kweku winner took turns to brag about themselves. Welcome back to the Midday News. Achu is here with sports. Achu.
Hi, Mami Yesi. And CAF President Patrice Motsepe, he's arrived in Senegal to meet with the Senegalese government and football officials. This morning, he's meeting with the President Bassirou Diomaye Faye and the head of Football Federation in Senegal, Mr. Abdoulaye Fall, on a working visit. The objective is simple: to straighten out the breaking relationship between CAF and the Senegalese country, because the CAF appeals jury last month stripped Senegal of the AFCON title, a decision that Senegal have since appealed at the Court of Arbitration for Sports, the outcome of which we'll learn later today.
All right, thank you very much, Achu. Now, President Mahama has nominated former IMF official and international economist consultant Dr. Emmanuel Otinkuma to chair Ghana's Fiscal Council under the Public Financial Management Act. The Fiscal Council is expected to play a key role in strengthening discipline in the management of public finances by promoting fiscal prudence. There's more on this report.
Dr. Otinkuma, who also served as board chairman of Standard Chartered Bank Ghana, is expected to bring extensive experience in economic governance, financial oversight, and fiscal management to the work of the council. In a statement, presidential spokesperson and Minister for Government Communications Felix Kwachio Fusu named Professor Patrick Isumin, Leslie Dwight Mensah, Kweku Beduado, and former governor of the Bank of Ghana, Dr. Henry Kofi Wampa, as the other members. Its work is also expected to help improve accountability, reinforce credibility in fiscal policy, and support broader efforts to ensure sustainability and responsibility in the management of the economy.
Now, one third of tourist sites in Accra could be lost to coastal erosion and rising sea levels, with the Osu Castle among the most vulnerable. The sea is steadily eating away the castle, a factor that influenced the relocation of the presidency to the Jubilee House 13 years ago. Today, the erosion continues, and experts warn the historic monument could collapse within the next few decades. Emmanuel Jiveni reports in Joy News series, When the Sea Comes Home.
The sea is closing in on one of Ghana's most important historical landmarks, the Christiansbo Castle, also known as the Osu Castle. Just a few meters away from the Osu Castle, 50-year-old Moses Abeka Okai sits by the shore mending his fishing net.
When I was a child, the sea was far away from the Osu Castle. But now, the sea has come closer to the castle. It is possible the sea can wash the castle away when we are no more.
At my visit in 2023, there was still a visible stretch of sandy beach between the sea and the castle. 3 years later, that buffer is almost gone. For centuries, the Christiansbo Castle was the seat of government. But in 2013, the presidency moved to the Jubilee House. Coastal scientist Professor Kwesi Epieni-Addo says advancing coastal erosion played a key role in that decision.
I observed the Kwame Nkrumah Mausoleum, the Independence Square, and the Christiansbo Castle will experience erosion and are likely to be lost to the sea in the very near future, looking between from 50 years to 150 years.
It's time now for our soft touch segment. And we're taking you to the rap contest between Kumasi's Kweku winner and Koforidua's Mr. G's. And today they take each other on in the brag segment. First is Mr. G. That's Mr. G's. Now let's listen to Kweku winner.
Charlie rap on us with me, Mama may be Timo, Samo Penny hip hop, and I send me down so. Maybe I pass it up and send me yes, Pope John Paul, and I'm a summa boom with you, rabbit. Who did you movie, leave you by Samoya hip hop? Send me breaking it down, I'm on a motor to bomb. Nigga, when I'm with you, need I'm over that call. Shut out rap and I send me my, I'm a man, yeah, bomb.
Interesting there. I don't know who is winning, but the rap segment is one of the exciting features of Beats and Bars Joy Prime's inter-committee rap battle, airing every Saturday at 8 p.m. And Adobia, sorry, Adobia, you say?
Adobia. Yes.